So Jeff was talking about people up north not really understanding or ever heard of what a meet and three is. Many of you know that I grew up in South Baton Rouge, in South Louisiana in Baton Rouge, where you pretty much were either Baptist or Catholic. There weren't a lot of in-betweens. And it wasn't until I was much older and I went into, of all things, the comedy nightclub business, that I began to meet people that were Jewish. Just weren't a whole bunch of folks that were Jewish in South Baton Rouge. Or if they were, I didn't get a chance to meet them. But meeting the comics, I got a chance to meet folks who had grown up Jewish in New York and out in Los Angeles. And it really was a colorful and interesting experience for me, because just as many odd Southern sayings that we have, there are many, many, many Yiddish sayings, some of which we've kind of enfolded into our own culture without even realizing it. Anybody said, well, I wasn't buying that shtick, you're using Yiddish. And if you ever said, boy, you know, that guy, one of the highest compliments I ever received, someone said, well, you're a real mensch, which meant I was human, I was humane. And so there was a guy one time that I knew, a comic, and he was talking about his uncle who was kvetching all the time. I said, kvetching, what is that, kvetch? He said, look, here's how I explain it. I'm going to tell you a story about a guy on a bus, or it could be a train, it doesn't matter. But the guy's, let's say it's on the train. The guy's on the train, and he says, boy, and I'm doing it in this guy's voice, boy, am I thirsty. And everybody just kind of goes, cringes a little bit. And he goes on, boy, am I thirsty. And it goes on three or four or five more times. And the people in this car, the train, are going, please, somebody. This guy's getting on everybody's nerve. Boy, am I thirsty. And finally, someone says, I'm just going to take care of this. And he goes up and gets the guy some water. And brings it back to him, and he gives it to him. Look, 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 he drinks it up. And everybody's, thank you so much for doing that. We needed that relief. And so there was silence for a little while. And then the guy says, boy, was I thirsty. He said, Stan, that's kvetching, where you complain about everything. And you complain about everything chronically. I get that, because truth be told, I can err on the side of looking for the negative a lot of times. I can complain. And you know, truth be told, if we spend any time at all, we can recognize a lot to complain about. Another guy I knew in that business said, you know, life, I love life. Life is great. It's people, places, and things that really get under my skin. Because we can complain about our boss and our roommates and our spouses and our mom or our dad or any other number of people or situations. My job, the weather, the economy, my life, and many of us do. In fact, if we sit and we're honest, it seems a little bit easier to identify the negative things around us and focus on those. Boy, was I thirsty. Some of you know that my mother got flooded out in South Baton Rouge when that flood hit, and she was rescued in a boat at 2 a.m. She's in her 80s. And I drove down there to help her, and we were sitting in the car one day, and she said this. She goes, you know, Stan, it's bad, but any bad thing can always get worse. True enough. Probably a positive, good way to look about it. Look at it. Yeah, this could be a lot worse, so let's sit in the solution rather than worry about the problem. There's another Jewish thing that I heard once that I think speaks to what we need to be thinking about and perceiving when we think about negatives and being pessimistic and complaining. And it's that Jewish prayer, "Dear God, please do not visit upon me what I am capable of handling." Because we can handle a lot more than any of us care to want to have to handle. There are reasons to be negative. But then you come into here and you go into the rooms, in the recovery rooms, and what you hear is, we need to begin to practice gratitude. We need to become more grateful. And you go, wait a second, you were just saying there's a whole bunch to complain about, and there is. But we need to practice gratitude and seek out the good things. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't things that are unfair and that there aren't injustices and there aren't parts of my life that I need to change and work on. Practicing gratitude doesn't mean I don't identify those things and work to change them. But practicing gratitude represents a shift in the way we think and act, which is what we're talking about in step 3. Jeff talked about the first two steps. In step 3, I make a decision to turn the way I think and I act over to the care of God as I understand God. And in doing so, my life changes. But we talk about practicing gratitude because I think it's not something that comes natural to us. I have to practice this every day. And one way I do that is waking up and, as Jeff said, hitting my knees and just being grateful to be here, to be alive. What is there to be grateful about? Well, let's start with breathing. There are folks just being alive. All the other things after that are gravy. But if you're taking a breath in here right now with me, there are other people somewhere on the world who are taking their last one, and it's not here. We are present and alive and growing. So let's start with being grateful about being together this morning. Then I can expand it from there. There's so many things that I can be grateful for. My health. The fact that this was all just waiting for us when we showed up. I don't recall doing much of anything to be born. This was an amazing world just waiting on me when I got here. And I need to remember that and practice gratitude. Practice appreciation for those things that typically I might complain about. Now, we will complain and not even realize we're doing it. It's like a story about a guy and his wife were in a restaurant. And he's complaining, "God, the food here is awful." And his wife says, "Yeah, and the portions are so small." We complain about complaints. About complaints. But what we're talking about in recovery is a shift in our perspective. I'll tell you another quick story about a farmer, a poor farmer. And his in-laws have moved in. And he goes to the village wise person. He goes, "What am I going to do? It's crazy. My mother-in-law is there. She fights with my wife. She fights with her husband. It's miserable. There's so much fighting and quarreling in the house going on right now. I can't stand it." And the wise man said, "You have chickens, right?" "Yeah, I do." "You have goats?" "Yeah, I do." "I tell you what I want you to do when you go home, move all of those inside too. Come back and see me in a week." He comes back in a week. "How is it?" It's horrible. There are pigs and goats and chickens and everybody's screaming. It's awful." He said, "Okay, that's what I want you to do now. Go back to your home and put the animals outside. Come back and see me in a week." Comes back in a week. "So how are things now?" "My home is a blessing. It's such peace. It's a wonderful place to return to each day. So it's perspective, and that's what we're trying to change in our recovery process, is our perspective. The first time I ever went to an AA meeting and heard someone say, "I'm so-and-so, I'm a very grateful recovering alcoholic," I had no idea what he possibly could have been talking about, because I wasn't very grateful at all. Because that meant to me, if I was going to follow instructions, that I had to quit drinking. I didn't want to do that. That I was going to have to go to those stupid meetings. I didn't want to do that. That I was going to have to talk to a sponsor. I didn't want to do that. I was going to have to read that stupid book. I don't want to do any of that. What is there to be grateful about in all this? And what I've come to learn is what he was saying is, I am so grateful to have been stopped short and shown a different way. That I don't have to live the way I used to live. That there is a spiritual path in this life, and I wasn't on it. And this has given me the opportunity to think about that, and it's given me the tools to develop that lifestyle and that perception and that way of being in the world. So now, when I hear someone say, "I'm a very grateful recovering alcoholic," I understand exactly what they mean. It doesn't feel like a gift when, at the time, I'm hearing all these new things that I need to do differently. But when I trust and I practice gratitude each day that it's going to be better, and it's going to be better, and what I have now is good and it will be better, I begin to experience life differently. The world doesn't change. Life doesn't magically get better because I quit smoking weed and drinking. It doesn't work that way. What happens is the way I experience life begins to change. The way I view life's experiences and my interactions with other people begins to change so much for the better. And it becomes such a gift. Life doesn't change. I do. So there's another Yiddish word I want to leave you with. We've all heard it, maybe even said it before. Shalom. And I've always heard that word and thought peace. And it does mean peace. But it also means harmony. It means connection. It means being content. And it can be used as a greeting or a way to say goodbye. So we start with a kvetcher. We come full circle to looking at each person around us and wanting in a heart-to-heart way to say, "Shalom, harmony be with you. Optimism and gratitude be with you." Practice that each day, and our lives become so much fuller and richer and happier. And we're given so many more things to be grateful for. Shalom. So if you will, just a moment of silence. And then we're going to get Jeff back up here for one more song. God, we stand before you so often critical and selfish and unappreciative. And we ask this morning with humility that you open our hearts and our minds to receive the infinite gifts that life offers us. Help us see the infinite beauty in our friends and our family. Help us begin to deeply appreciate what it feels like to be alive and just able to breathe and make a difference and be present in our lives in a way we never could before. Open our hearts. Open our eyes. Help us feel gratitude each day. Amen.